there's so many different ways to get co-hosting or property management deals, but here's the top seven that we found.
Sales is good. It's not a bad thing. So it's really reframing that you're not selling people, you're helping them.
Co-hosting or property management, in my opinion, is a lot better of a strategy. Like, you don't need any money as opposed to arbitrage.
What's going on, SDR Nation? This is your host, Emanuele Pani, with my man, Mr. Mike Riley. What's going on, Riley?
Doing awesome, man. Doing awesome. Excited for today.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I'm excited because this is going to be our first solo show. So I am looking forward to it. And again, we were talking off air, so just kind of think about what we could bring you guys. And I've been doing a lot of calls for people that want to come in and join Secrets. And one of the things that I'm hearing a lot about is people moving away from arbitrage. Because again, now that the market got a little bit tighter, people don't have as much money to put aside to like start new properties. Again, it's such an expensive business to get rolling, right? And so we wanted to kind of touch on, first of all, if you guys are listening to us, I hope by now you know the difference between co-hosting and arbitrage. But if you don't, because I had somebody today tell me that co-hosting was when you partner with somebody that arbitrages a property and then you host for them. I'm like, yeah, kind of, but not really, right? Because again, if that person is doing that, he's going to have even less margin. So I don't really know how that would work, right? But I thought we would talk about so now co-hosting is, my definition is when you help a property owner or an investor make money with their property through short-term rentals. Would you add anything to it, Roddy?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, there's co-hosting and then there's property management, and the areas are just so gray, really, for what's the difference. And at the end of the day, I think co-hosting is, you know, you partner with a property manager that has a property, either you're a co-host on the listing on Airbnb, and then typically the payments go to them, they go to the owner of the home, and then you just charge them an invoice at the end of every single month, or you do the Airbnb payout splits or whatever they call it. So, and then property management is a little bit different. A lot of the times in a lot of different states, there's licensure that you have to get. But most of the time with property management, or pretty much all the time with property management, you as a property manager take the funds for those rentals, and then you pay out the homeowner typically by the 15th of every month. And then, you know, it's typically full service. You pay for all the supplies and everything out of your pocket, and then you get reimbursed through that owner report. But, you know, either one, like co-hosting or property management, in my opinion, is a lot better of a strategy. Like, you don't need any money as opposed to arbitrage. Mm-hmm. You know, arbitrage, you have to bring first month's rent, last month's rent. You got to buy all the furniture, which is risky as well. Rents are going up like crazy across the entire country, which makes it harder to get into. And then, you know, if you're not getting a 2 or 3 year lease, then, you know, 12 months from now, you're still risk. So, you know, arbitrage definitely still works, but it's, in my opinion, it's a lot riskier and you got to put more money into it.
Yeah. What would you say the profit margin is for a co-host before he starts bringing on a team?
Yeah, before you start bringing on a team, I mean, if you think about it, if you just get an average property that brings in like 50, let's say 50 grand a year, and you charge 20% as a co-host, you know, that's what, that's 10 grand a year, right? So it's like 850 a month. You charge 20%. If you charge 25%, then you're looking at $1,000 a month. So, you know, really on that, the only thing that you're paying for is software. And if you charge the homeowner, like what we do is we charge $140 a month as a tech fee. And that covers my bookkeeping expense. That covers Hospitable. That covers Price Labs. It covers all of my software. So my profit margin on one property is really 100% before any labor. You know, you got to pay like the LLC stuff. And, you know, you got to file your taxes every year, but those are more annual expenses. So I would say between 80 and 90% for sure.
Yeah. That's what I tell people, right? Because again, like the arbitrage sounds good when you're in the high season, but then when you're low season, once you average it out, it's very different. Whereas the co-hosting side, you can get in, get started, get going. And until you decide to leverage yourself out, so until you start buying back your time with the team, I tell people, realistically, you're in that 90, 85 to 90%. profit margin. Right? So what are 7 ways to land a deal, Mr. Mike Reddy? Where do people find them? How do you, where, who, what, how?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different ways to land co-hosting deals or land property management deals. You know, it's not as easy as looking at Zillow, you know, and finding properties to rent. Like arbitrage is pretty easy. Like you just look at your phone, you look at Zillow, and then, you know, you run some numbers, see if you can cash flow, and then you call the, you know, person who's listing the property and talk to them about it. See if they want to do short-term rentals, if they're okay with that, that sort of thing. And there's a whole pitch behind it. And I used to do some of that stuff, but not anymore. Cause it was hot back in the day, man. Like when rents were cheap and Airbnb was new, like it was, everybody was doing it. Everybody was teaching it too, which changed a lot of things now. But, we created a training at SDR Secrets, and you know, there's so many different ways to get co-hosting or property management deals, but here's the top 7 that we found people getting co-hosting deals. And number one is the most low hanging fruit. And that is going to family, friends, and loved ones, telling them what you're doing, telling them you are a co-host, you are a property manager now, whichever one you are, and then really asking if they have any properties or know anybody that that is going to be, you know, needing your service. And it's not really in a way of like, hey, you know, I'm starting this new company, NC Stays, and we're going to be managing short-term rentals. And do you have any short-term rentals I can manage? Like, I know you're in real estate. You got any? Have you ever thought about it? It's more coming from a place of, hey, you know, I'm starting this new business. It's something I'm really excited about. It's in the real estate space. It is, you know, really managing short-term rentals, Airbnbs, Vrbos, that sort of thing. Have you ever stayed in an Airbnb before? You know, have you ever, you know, anyone that owns Airbnbs? Like, what do you think about Airbnbs? And then, you know, it's more coming from a place of like being interested in whoever you're talking to and what their experience is with Airbnb, rather than like calling up family, friends, loved ones and like pitching them on this. So it's coming from a little bit different of a place. And I think a lot of people are scared that they're going to sound salesy. And like, they don't want to pick up the phone and call friends and like give them a sales pitch. But at the end of the day, it's just a conversation, right?
Yeah, 100%. 100%. And we'll talk about sales in a little bit as well, right? Because I think I definitely have some thoughts on that. But the second one that for me was very big at the beginning, right, was the partnership with like long-term property managers. Because again, right, if you have a big online presence, as a lot of those long-term old property managers do, they probably do get a lot of phone calls, right? So whenever I used to approach them, my conversation was very simple and being like, hey, do you guys manage short-term rentals? And if the answer was no, I would then introduce myself and be like, look, this is who I am. I would love to come in and meet you guys if you're like have a local office and just introduce myself. But I just want to be a resource for you anytime you do have somebody that needs a short-term rental, and or if you guys have any issues ever with any of your properties where you need temporary housing for somebody that is one of your tenants because of flood issues or anything of that sort, I would love to be a resource for you. Because again, right, understanding the game is how do you help people and start with service, start with value. And so when you go talk to a long-term PM, understanding, okay, what are some of the pain points that those people are going to have? One, short-term rental is a whole new system, right? So realistically, if they manage a lot of long-term rentals on a Appfolio, Buildium, or anything on those things, they're realistically not going to do short-term. And if they do want to do short-term, it would have to be a whole other wing of their business that they will have to build. And then two is like anytime as a PM I've had issues with renovations, sewers, or anything of that sort, it's really, really annoying because you don't know where to put people. And so if you're there to provide a value and a service to them, it's a great partnership and it's a win-win all around, right?
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. There's so many long-term property managers out there. And if you just call them up, and it's same thing with the family, friends, loved ones, like just make a list of like 20 people that know you, that trust you already, and give them a call. But then for the long-term property managers, make a list of 10 and just give them a call and do the same thing. Just ask them, hey, do you guys have a short-term rental management practice? Mm-hmm. You know, what happens if somebody calls and asks for short-term rentals? Like, do you have a referral program? Do you guys send them any leads, anything like that? And then, like you said, Ease, just add value to them. Hey, if you guys have anybody that needs short-term stay, maybe, you know, because it happens all the time. There's a leak. The roof is damaged. There's like, you know, and this happens, I feel like it happens every week where we have a plumbing leak somewhere and we got to move them to another property. And thank goodness we have a lot of properties locally.
Yeah.
And so it's easy to move them around when you have access to people who have short-term rentals.
Yeah. The last thing I would say on that, and this is a little bit old school way of me doing it, right? But when I was in the habit of calling people, a lot of the times what I would do is I would go Google search and then I would print out the results. And then the list of printout would come with me in the car. And so anytime I was in the car, I was driving, I was doing things, whatever it is, I had the list of printout. I was waiting for a client to show up at a meeting. I would pick up my list of printout, be like, okay, I called these people, I called these people, I called these people, these are next. And now I will call those people. And then just write little notes and then keep going down the line, right? Because again, if you're going to grow this business, you can't be a secret agent. You gotta talk about it. People need to know. Like, people need to know what you're doing, right? Number three, Mr. Riley, what we got next?
Number three is digital marketing. So using your website or Google My Business to grow your business that way. So if you have a digital marketing background or you know digital marketing well, and you know how to create blog posts and post consistently, it can be a really good way to organically grow your co-hosting or property management business. And, you know, I typically say like this one, you want a little bit of experience and you probably want some properties already. You know, if you go fresh trying to use Google My Business, you don't have any reviews on your business yet because you don't have any clients yet, then it's going to be a little bit tougher. But if you, let's say you own one property right now and you have a Google My Business and you have people who are staying at your property, you can have them review your Google Business and get reviews that way. And then that way you can rank higher when people go to Google for everything, which I do for everything. Most people do to search, maybe a little ChatGPT now, but Google's still by far the biggest one. And they search short-term rental property manager in New Bern, North Carolina. My company's going to show up because I have, I think, probably 20 or some reviews, and it's the most out of anybody else nearby. Now, some long-term property managers will show up as well, but they don't have short-term rental property management. So that combined with just being able to post consistently on your website, a blog post or a podcast can really help you. You know, Google likes it when you create more content and they rank you higher and higher for those different types of searches. If you are posting every single week.
Yeah, absolutely. And this comes from the man that used to work for Google. So I was, it's insider knowledge.
Little insider knowledge for sure.
Yeah, man. Number four is very similar to number two, right? But instead of property managers working with real estate agents. Again, in a market that is a heavy vacation rental market or that has a lot of like second homes like mine in South Florida, for example, you are a great resource to agents. For two reasons, right? One, they have people that have second homes and it's a way for them to rent back out and help them make money. Number two, they have people that want to buy homes and want to buy homes for an investment. And most agents don't know how to even look at short-term rentals. They have no clue, right? They have no clue how to estimate cost, how to estimate revenue. They have no idea amenities, right? And so again, leading with value is reaching out to real estate agents or real estate offices and introducing yourself and sharing with them what you can do. A lot of offices do weekly or monthly team meetings, investing some money in like buying people lunch, right? Buy sandwiches, buy donuts, whatever it is that you want to do, and just go there with your presentation and be like, this is short-term rentals. This is all the things. And again, there too, the way that I've always done it, you don't lead with the ask. You lead with the value. The idea is for you to teach them how to do it. And if you listen to this, you're like, but then they're going to do it. I'm like, okay, let them, right? We deal with an infinite supply. Even if they end up doing this, you can still do it yourself. So the way that I always did it was a full presentation that gave them everything that they need to actually get started. And then the way that I would end it would be like, or you can partner with me. and I'll do all those things for you and your clients. But at the same time, I'm going to show you how to fish. I'm going to teach you how to fish because I know you can go and fish. I know realistically what's going to happen. But that's for me to know and for you to find out, right? Like, we're gonna play that game, right? But again, always lead with value and always understand that, like, most people in that room are going to be like, I can do this myself. You're like, you should. That's great, right?
It is. It is. Most people won't. Because it is hard, too. You know, it is hard at the beginning. But it's also hard to, like, give that information away and teach them how to do that when you... You know, you're trying to grow your business yourself. But like you said, there's an infinite supply. There's so many properties Vacasa and Evolve together have, I think, over 100,000 properties in the United States. There's 100,000 properties that I guarantee are being mismanaged by those two companies right there. And there's hundreds of thousands of more. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's plenty of properties, plenty of homeowners that are being underserved that need our help. So partnering with real estate agents and just sharing with them. But then, you know, once you get one really good partnership, they can send you leads, you know, again and again and again, and you can be their go-to person. And we just announced a cool partnership with the largest short-term rental brokerage in the country. They buy and sell real estate all over the country and represent, I don't know, probably 50 million plus in transactions. And so the STR Secrets members, co-host property managers are now getting leads from them pretty exclusively. So it's a pretty cool way to just have a cohesive partnership, because all they do is short-term rentals. All we do is co-hosting and property management. So it's pretty cool when you have that type of alignment.
Yeah. So big shout out to Tycoon and his team at Savvy. We love 100%. You guys. You guys are great. Okay. So we got real estate agents. What we got next?
So local Facebook groups, or really Facebook groups in general, there, you know, we got the STR Secrets Facebook group where people are posting like, you know, hey, I need a co-host in X market at least once a week. So if you're not in that group, go to groups.strsecrets.com and join the group, and you'll be able to see if there's people posting in your market every single week. I also post leads for the UI method, which we'll talk about, but that's not really the strategy. It's not going into all these groups and like looking for people posting, you know, hey, I need help with my property. It's going to be more about becoming a thought leader in those groups. And you can go out and join 5 or 6 groups. You can join a, you know, Atlantic Beach, North Carolina vacation rentals group. Or, you know, North Carolina has a very big Airbnb vacation rentals group. I think it's just North Carolina Airbnb group. And people are asking questions in there all the time. Hey, how do I increase my pricing? Hey, you know, I'm not getting booked here. Hey, my current property manager is doing X, Y, and Z. I'm not really sure. And what you want to do is you don't want to go out and shout at the rooftop, hey, NC Stays is the best company in the world. You want to go and just like answer their questions, you know, go help them, go serve them, you know, and the other thing too is post some of your wins in there. If you have a new property that you launch, post that in there. If you had a great February, post those numbers in there and get a conversation started. Ask questions too. You know, like how are you guys doing? You know, how are the bookings in June this year? Are you feeling like it's a little slow? You know, just go in and just be active. And the key there is people seeing your face and seeing, you know, what you're doing in Facebook. And, you know, I turn off all the notifications in Facebook except for the groups that I care about. So like, I don't get all the other noise of Facebook and like birthdays and stuff like that. Well, actually the birthday thing, that really helps. I'll miss people's birthday. That really helps. But, you know, political posts and stuff like that, turn off those notifications and just like focus on the groups, because there's people that need help in there and everybody's on Facebook. It's a really easy place to go in and drive leads. And Luke Kolk, who was on, he was on one of my trainings a few months ago. He's like got 50 or 60 properties now. And he said like over 70% of them are from Facebook groups, just people that needed help. And he was helping them out. He would give them information and then they would say, hey, can you just do it for me? Like you said.
Yeah.
So
no, and it's natural for people, once you give to them, for them to feel a need to give back. So even if they are not going to be your clients, the fact that you helped and provide service and provide value may lead them to be like, hey, like I do it for myself on my own property. I'm not a co-host, but I do know this great guy, Riley, that anytime I needed something, he always answered. And I know he has a property called NC Stays. I would give him a call, right? And again, on the local groups, one of the things that I hate people do is that, hey, I DM'd you. Check your DMs. Or that I'm happy to help you. Check your DMs or send me a DM. That's not providing value, right? You're just trying, like, that's not the game. The game is whatever the question is, you answer to the best of your abilities and you value without any ask, right? If you're going there, be like, oh yeah, I just went into your DMs. Cool, did you help me? No, it's where we'll talk to you, right? The next one, it's kind of similar to the beginning of this conversation, right? But it's like the for rent signs. I see them all the time. The people have for rent signs. And again, if you are somebody that has an agent that you work with that goes or that likes to still browse Zillow because you come from an arbitrage background, it's the same conversation, right? It's having the conversation about like, hey, you are having me able to rent your property. I think you can make more money with co-hosting. This is how. This is how much more you can make. And then having the conversation with people, right? Very simple. It's people that already have raised their hand saying like, hey, I want to rent it. And for me, the biggest pitch there, which is a lot of education as well, is to help owners and especially long-term real estate investors understand how much better for their property a short-term rental is versus a long-term. In terms of wear and tear, in terms of like just eyes on the property and everything else. Because again, as short-term rentals, you guys all know, we clean the properties on a much more regular basis than most long-term renters or people living homes clean it, right? Like, how clean would your home be if you cleaned it every single time you clean one of your Airbnbs?
Hmm.
It'd be spotless, right? It'd be amazing.
Yeah, it'd right? be spotless.
Spotless. How amazing would your home be anytime that your kids kind of scrape the wall, somebody comes back, cleans it, and repaints it?
I would love that.
Right? Amazing. Right?
Yeah.
So that is the pitch that you bring to investors, right? If they have a long-term rental, they're trying to do a for sale by owner or for rent by owner. For sale by owners are also interesting, right? I've had conversations with people that I'm like, you can sell this home. It's furnished. Have you considered? Right? I'll let you take the last one because that's your domain, your kingdom.
Yeah. So this is number seven. And again, guys, there's so many different ways, but these are really the top seven that we're seeing right now. You know, especially to recap, the local Facebook groups, the real estate agent referral network, and then the family, friends, and loved ones. Those are the ones that are really doing well right now. And then number six, the for rent listings on Zillow. Like that was the way I started. That was the way Mike started too. And it's not as easy anymore, but this is the easiest one, is the UI method. So UI method stands for the underserved investor method. This is really using tools like AirDNA, or you can even go on Airbnb and search for properties in your market that are really 4.7 stars or less. Like if you're getting anything less than 4.7 stars on your property, you're struggling. You're struggling to manage the property and manage expectations well. And so just make a list of those Airbnbs that have a rating of 4.7 or less. A funny stat from AirDNA, the difference between a 4.7 star rating and a 5-star rating is 20% in RevPAR, which is revenue per active rental, 20%. So if you can find a property that has less than 4.7 stars, make a list of all of those properties that you found in your market. What you can actually do is you can find the homeowner's information. So a lot of the times it's being managed by a big box property manager. So you obviously can't reach out on Airbnb. I do not recommend anybody reaching out to the homeowner or the property manager on the Airbnb platform, but you can do some investigative work. And what that means is looking at on the map on Airbnb, they show you a little circle of where that property is around located, right? So what you want to do is you want to search in and really zoom in on your screen on Airbnb, and then go over to Google Maps and look at the cross streets.
and then try and find where that property is. So you can use Google Street, you can use Google Map View or Street View, and then look, all right, on this Airbnb listing, this is what the house looks like. So I'm just going to go on the street and look to see what house looks the same, what looks similar. And then you get their address. So now you have an address to work from. And then you can use stuff like True People Search to actually go in and find out who owns that property. And then tools like PropWire to get their contact information, their phone number, their email, to, you know, reach out to them. So send them a text, give them a call, send them an email. You might even know this person as well. I found that a lot of the properties that I've reached out to, like I have some sort of second degree connection to this person just because that, you know, I'm local in the area. And then reach out to them. And it's just as simple as like, hey, you know, I'm a local property manager. I'm a local host in the area. I own property in the area too. I love your property. I saw I wasn't getting that great of reviews or really whatever you'd want to say. And just like, hey, if you ever need some help with it, I'm happy to give you some pointers. Just something as simple as that. You can text them that, you can call them that, you can call them and tell them that, you can leave them a voicemail. But at the end of the day, if you tell them, hey, if I can get you from a 4.7 to a 5 or a 4.6 to a 5 or a 4 to a 5 and make you 20% more on your property, would that be interesting? I think most people would take that meeting with you. And so that's what the UI method is reaching out to them, setting a meeting for you two to discuss it. And then on that call, you know, you're going to want to do a lot of discovery, which that's kind of when like my sales process kicks in. And you and I talk a lot about like sales process and like sales, it's just having the right sales mentality. Cause I think sales has a negative connotation, right? Like we always think salespeople are pushy because, you know, we've bought cars from people and, you know, like the car salesman type of thing it's not a very good, analogy, but that's when you have those meetings, you come from a place of like, hey, I want to help you because I like your property, but also I want to see if it's a good fit, if I can help you and if I can serve you, and I want to know what your expectations are and what you want, what you need, and see if it's a good fit for me as well. Because like last week we talked to Mark Palmieri, and Mark has a very specific criteria based on if his mother would stay there or if his grandmother would stay at the property. And if that's not the case, then he wouldn't take that property on. So in a nutshell, that's what the UI method is. And just continuing that into, you know, really a sales effort and a sales campaign, which is kind of what we're going to touch on next, right?
Yeah. Yeah, because one of the biggest things that I notice with people is... First of all, so many people lead conversation with like, I'm not good at sales. I'm like, up until now, first of all, right? Like, that's just, it's a skill, right? Like, there is some people. So the beauty is this. There is natural born salespeople, no doubt. And salespeople are made at the same time. So if it's not something you're good at now, that's great. We can work on it. The biggest thing from my perspective, and I'm curious to hear yours, Riley, is this, right? What makes you sleazy when it comes to sale or manipulative when it comes to sale is what your intentions are, what your motives are. If your motives are pure, that should already take a lot of the resistance out from your side. I talked to a mom the other day. She has a 6-year-old and an 8-year-old. She wants to be mom more, spend more time there. She has a crazy job. And she's like, I don't want to be sleazy. I'm like, what's the motive? Well, I want to provide great stays for my guests and help owners make money. I have nothing wrong with that. And nobody that you're going to talk to is going to say there's anything wrong with that. So one is understanding sales is good. It's not a bad thing. Because the other thing is all you're doing with sales, you're just facilitating people's desires. And what I mean by that is this. If you meet somebody that bought a second home, what were their desires? Most likely it was to enjoy the home themselves. And then when they're not enjoying it, make money. So if you can facilitate desire and help them make money and take care of their issues, you're helping them. So it's really reframing that you're not selling people, you're helping them. And this is a big conversation that we have around raising money. people say, I don't want to ask people for money. I'm like, you're not asking people for anything. You're providing an opportunity that's going to help them make money. So it's really reframing the whole perspective, right? And the other thing is reps. It's a numbers game. Like, you listen to some of my first sales calls, I cringe listening to them now, right? And at the same time, I have done this long enough. And by this, I mean just being in business, that I understand the beginning is always clunky. It's just part of it, right? Any new sport you play, anything, like I played baseball with my girlfriend's kid yesterday on the Xbox. Dude, the first two innings, he was just kicking my ass because I couldn't understand how to use the remote. But if we get up and storm away the moment that the first couple calls go badly, or if you used, you're like, I gave my best sales pitch ever, and they still said no. Oh, okay. What does that have to do with you?
Yeah.
Right?
I love it. I love using golf as an analogy too. Because when I first started playing golf, I was in college. I was playing tennis at UNCW, and I met a golfer, and he was obviously very, very good. He was on a golf team, and I was terrible. And I told him, I was like, man, I'm not good at golf. Like, and I hear this a lot of people, like when people start out too, and I tell them I play a lot of golf now, and they're like, I can't do it. I get out there, and I can't swing. I hit this big slice and I'm just not very good. I'm not good at golf. But when I started, I was terrible too. But I got addicted to it because I loved it. I loved getting out there, and like every time you could do better every single time. So every time you go out there, you could beat the next score, and you always get something different too. That's why golf is so mental, and so is life, and so is sales. Like, the more reps, you're not going to be great at the beginning, but the more reps that you put in, same thing with the guitar, like playing the guitar behind me. Like, first time I picked it up, I was terrible at it, but I just kept playing and kept playing and kept playing. And because I really enjoyed it. And like you said at the beginning, it's all about the motive, and like, it's all about why you're doing it, and what, where you're coming from a place of wanting to help them and wanting to make your family better and be able to spend more time with your kids. So if you approach every text, every call, every sales meeting where, hey, I'm here to try and make my life better and my family's life better. And you said it yesterday, I think you said, and I wrote this down, you said your ceiling is your kid's floor, which just like slapped me really hard. Your ceiling for your life is really your kid's floor. So if you're doing this to, reach your ceiling, however high you want it to be, your kids get to really stand on top of that ceiling, and that's their floor, because they get to continue to make their lives better and their kids' lives better, and you're just making a bigger impact. And so it's just coming at it from like, all right, I may be not so good this time, or I may mess up, but I'm going to keep doing it because I want to make my kids' life better. And I want to make my life better too, so I can spend more time with them, because I don't have much time either. You can come at it from a selfish point of view too. It's completely fine to do that. Like, if you don't have kids or anything right now too, it's just like, hey, I want to make my life better. And yeah, this call may stink right now, but I'm going to do it anyways. And somebody may hang up on you. Somebody may yell at you, get mad at you, threaten you. That's okay. If you're coming from a place of, hey, I'm just trying to make life better. You never know where that person on the other end of the phone is at. You never know what kind of battle they're fighting right now. They could be going through something really tough. And so you can't take it personally, and just have to understand, we're here to try and help people and solve problems.
100%. Yeah, it's never about you, but it's always about them, right? Like, anytime somebody doesn't buy from you, it has nothing to do with you. The last thing, Riley, that I want to leave them with, and every time I think about Mike, right? Like, I want to bring Shogun into shows and be like, okay, what's some actionable things, right? We give you guys a lot of actionable intake on the 7 places to find people. One of the questions that I saw today was how do I send things, right? Like, do I send things before, like if I'm actually, now that I got a meeting with somebody, right? Do I send things before the meeting? Do I send things after the meetings, and what? So I'll share I would love for you to share yours. So anytime I go to meet with somebody, I'll send them kind of like our presentation, our credibility pack. I send them over, And there I have just our story, what we do, the services we do, and then just a quick rundown or like expectations of like what the property can provide and everything that we do for them. In addition to like links to things where you can see testimonials and everything else. And then after I meet with them, obviously I bring usually that with me, plus anything else that I would like to show them. And then after the meeting, I usually send something similar, but like a little bit different, more tweaked to them. So if I gave them any suggestions about the design or any suggestions about the amenities and everything else, I either send them examples of what I'm thinking about or what I was talking, and then expectations in terms of like, if you do this, this will impact this number by X. Or if my projections were wrong at the beginning from not seeing the property, I'm like, now that I saw it, if you guys are not willing to fix X and Y, most likely these projections are going to be here versus what I gave you, because now I've seen them.
Yeah. Yeah. I think those are all things I do. Biggest thing you want to make sure is make sure they show up, and then make sure they know a little bit about you too. If you can, what you said, and then afterwards, just recapping what the next steps are, you know, and you never want to leave that conversation or, you know, that sales meeting or phone call without some sort of agreement on what a next step looks like. Mm-hmm. You know, you can have a next step in your head, but if you always ask, hey, what do you think the next steps are here, and get their perspective on it, you know, especially I hear a lot of people talking about how Vicasa has like a 90-day cancellation period, and you know, they don't want to wait 90 days. You don't want to wait 90 days. So what's the next step? When's our go live date? That sort of thing. If you can get that information before you hop off the phone, that's gold. You can really forecast when you think you're going to start working with that person, or if you need to find somebody else to talk to as well. Cause not every, I mean, I've probably had 100 sales calls, you know, over the last 4 years, and really only maybe 20% have signed on with me. That's actually probably a pretty accurate number. And it's not because the 80% like didn't like me. It's because something changed. Maybe they sold the property. Maybe they decided to host on their own. You know, some of them decided to go with other property managers. You know, because they thought it was a better fit for them, which, hey, totally fine. I learned from that. And those are really, or they just did nothing, you know, or they didn't make a change. And that's probably the biggest one that I find is people just don't do anything.
Yeah.
That's the biggest loser.
That's a real thing, right? So to leave you guys, these are the 7 ways, or at least those are 7 ways that we know it works. And just go have fun. Right. And like, if I can leave you with anything, is one, don't take it personal. It's a great essay by Earl Nightingale, The Magic Word. And the magic word is attitude, right? So show up enthusiastically, show up in love with what you do, show up passionate in what you're doing, and show up in service. And then just go out and have fun, right? Like, just have fun. And every time, you know what I mean? Like, don't dwell on it. If they don't go well, watch the film, right? Like, just think about it. Think of the things that you could do better. And then move on. Like, the fact that things don't go well is not indication of whatever or not you should be doing this or not. All it means, at least to me, is that you're not as good yet. You weren't great at walking when you started either, though. And most of you walk fine now, right? So just a matter of practice, and just continue to get up and continue to walk, you know?
What's the worst thing that could happen? You're not going to die.
Yeah, no, right?
About life or death.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Okay, brother, any last thoughts?
No, get out there. There's a lot of homeowners that are struggling. There's a lot of homeowners that don't know that they need help too. And if you come from a good place and a place of service, then you'll end up okay.
Yes, 100%. Well, guys, hopefully this was useful to you, and we'll see you guys in the next one. Ciao, guys.